Good evening, everyone. Hello, I am Coach Lizzie. I'm going to go ahead and get situated here. Go ahead and change my name, Coach Lizzie. And I am sure in just a minute when Coach Julie is able to get here, she'll raise her hand. Welcome, everyone. There we go. Coach Julie is coming on. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are hosting the Handling the Holidays worksheet call, planning your holiday season. As you can tell, if you are on video, Julie and I are decked out. Julie's got her snowflake headband. I've got my Santa hat. We are so ready. Julie, are you ready?
I'm so ready. And I just want to say, like, off the top, like, it doesn't matter what holiday you might celebrate, whether it's Christmas, fast, Advent, Hanukkah, the Feast of Immaculate Conception, Baudi Day, Our Lady of Guadalupe, I'm trying to think of them all, Las Posadas, Yule, Sara Bivette, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, St. Stephen's Day, this call is for you. Like, it doesn't matter. We are just celebrating holidays, right?
Whoops, we got Julie froze a little bit. I don't know if she froze for you all, or maybe it's just me. Y'all tell me in the chat if it's just me.
Are we frozen? Am I frozen? I think, Lizzie, it might be you frozen. So we are literally here to celebrate every holiday known to man.
And I'm back. Apparently I was frozen and we're celebrating all the holidays. Thank you, Julie. So welcome, everybody. We're so glad you're here. Julie, it's the holidays, which is a wonderful, special time of year. What, though, kind of makes it hard sometimes?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we've been talking about all week. Like, if for whatever reason you have traditions that are being interrupted due to loss of family or moving of family or people in places that you didn't plan this year, what do you think? What are some that you can think of? Like, I mean, there could be so many.
In my mind, the things that sometimes make holidays a little challenging is that it kind of revolves around food. And I might even be frozen again, which would be fun. either way, we've got... Am I back?
Yeah, you're good. You were frozen, but it's okay. Like, literally, okay. I agree with you, revolving around food and, like, the food focus and everybody talking about food and recipes.
Yeah, and then there's the family, and then there's the logistics, and then there's the, like, the holidays just keep going on and on and on, and there's the leftovers. It can be a lot. And so one of the things that is amazing about NoBS and Corinne is that she's created this holidays worksheet, which I don't know about you, but I went through it in detail in preparing for this call, and I was like, wow, there's a lot. There's so much good stuff in this worksheet. And because there is so much good stuff in this worksheet, there's actually some things that Julie and I are not going to be able to cover on this call. But I do want to mention them so that you get a chance to go to the worksheet and check them out. So a couple of, like, highlights of things that we're not going to dive deep into with the worksheet, but I definitely want you to check out, are things like the holiday eating cheat sheet. So there's things like, you know, how to leave some bites behind or have some white space on your plate. BLTs, that's bites, licks, and tastes. And then leftovers. I literally was having a call with a client today about how does she want to handle holiday leftovers. That's a thing. So make sure you take a look at that. Then there's also the holiday calendar, which when I was looking at this, I was like, I wish I had this 6 years ago when my husband was still in the military, because in the military, we have a lot of social functions and we lovingly call them mandatory fun. And in perfect honesty, in retrospect, that's exactly how I treated them, as mandatory and not fun. And I, looking back, kind of like wish I had shown up a little differently for my husband. And so, like, the planning your calendar helps you decide how you want to show up for those holiday events. And I mean, what a gift to give yourself to be able to think through that. And then two other things about the worksheet that we're not totally going to get into is the holiday goal. Are you okay with gaining weight this holidays? Do you want to maintain? Do you want to lose? What is realistic for you? Make a plan and set your expectations. And then finally, the doable re-entry plan. Wow. Like, what a gift to give yourself to make a plan for after the holidays, because it's so easy to just kind of let those old habits just keep on rolling that ball down the hill. So the doable reentry plan, again, that's something I was talking to a client about today. Make a plan for the couple of days after the holiday and do your future self a favor. Whew. So those are a couple of things in the worksheet, because there's so much that we're not totally going to get to today. But Julie, what are some of the things that we do want to discuss today on our call?
Such a good question. So we want to talk about how you want to define holidays and kind of go through that worksheet together. We want to talk about what you want for holidays. And then also probably one of the most important things is your encyclopedia of shoulds. What are you telling yourself that you should be doing and thinking and wanting this holiday season? And how can we decide what you actually want to choose versus what you think you should be up to?
Yeah,
but also absolutely. Some 4Ns. I mean, it would be awesome to go through some 4Ns together and have you guys all do some 4Ns as well.
Yeah. And speaking of together, this is a coaching call. So if you want to get coached on the holidays, please raise your hand. Julie and I would love to talk to you. This is 2 for the price of 1. And Julie is coming in on a special day. She's not technically supposed to be working today. So this is a big deal that we have our Julie with us. So please raise your hand. And you can get coaching. I know, all the hearts for Julie. So
back at you, sister.
Nice. So let's talk about some 4Ns. What's a thought that you notice about the holidays?
So this year I'm having one, right? I moved even further away from my family this year. And so I've really been noticing my brain telling myself constantly, like, I'm so sad. I'm not going to see my family this holiday season. Mm-hmm. And the truth is like, of course, like, yeah, I'm sad. I'm not going to see my family this holiday season. And that just feels like really appropriate under the circumstances. And so although I understand the idea of like honoring other thoughts and feelings I have about it too, I'm really just holding this one close to my heart. Like, it is true. I'm sad. I'm not going to be with my parents. Mm-hmm. And so really, I'm just kind of neutralizing that by reminding myself that based on my family structure and what they celebrate, it's like 3 days of togetherness that I'm missing. But like, I moved here 365 days. So honestly, why is this any different? Like, 365 days, I live 10 hours away from my parents. Like, why am I making a big deal about it for these 3 days? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like that 365 days I live here is my neutral, right? Like, I live here 365 days. But my next best is like, I find fellowship and communion with my people 365 days a year here already. So I can do it for these 3 days. Like, mm-hmm. I will, you know, with a, you know, so often we think about next best thought, but my next best action is like making sure that like Christmas Eve, which is when we used to open our presents with my family, I really connect with my parents, like FaceTime and Christmas morning, early, getting on the phone with them where we can have coffee and like jabber about the day and the weather, which is what they like to talk about. So my next best action is to implement my fellowship plan for living away from my parents. And so that's what I'm going to do. How about you? What comes to mind for you this holiday season?
Yes. Thank you for asking. So I'm good with Thanksgiving coming up, but Christmas, we have my family, my parents and my husband's parents in the same city. And my husband's brother just got married. And in the past, we're like, let's keep them separate. Like, my parents and his parents, like, it's they get along, but like, it's just easier if we keep them separate. And this year I'm like, no more, like, just enough. We're all being together. my place, it's happening. And everyone was like, great. And then my mother-in-law said, and my brother-in-law, Mike, and his wife are coming too. And I went, oh my, I don't have space for that many people. So I'm noticing the thought of like, where am I going to fit everyone? And will they all get along? And of course, so I'm normalizing that by thinking it's so normal that I would worry about that because we've had some, you know, minor, but didn't feel minor at the time, family tension in the past between family members. And I want to make sure everyone's happy and people pleasing as I might do occasionally. And so it's so normal that I would have those thoughts. And neutral is, you know, fill in the name of family members are here, are present and in town. Next best thought could be, we will figure out where we will be. We will figure out the logistics. It will work out. At like, even like 2% or 3% level up next thought, best thought, which I can reach to, is it probably will work out just fine. Everyone will get along just fine. It's probably going to be great. But yeah, that's helpful for me to notice there's a little bit of stress and anxiety about that, and I can neutralize it and normalize it and next best thought it.
My favorite thing about yours is the probably, right? Like, you didn't just jump to some like roses and daisies, fake BS thought that like you have no control over anyway, because you don't have control over those people. So I love hearing you say like probably, because you basically get to make it okay for you and you really can't control them. So like, probably feels like a really doable next best thought. Does it feel that way for you?
Yeah, it does. And I also like, it's funny that you mentioned that. Like, I also feel like, and if it doesn't, I'm going to be fine. Like, I'm going to kind of look at it as a bystander and be like, wow, look at this unraveling. How fascinating. It'll be okay. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm excited for you. Like, that's a big step, like making a change like that, that you haven't made. So good for you.
I saw Karen wrote in the chat, here's a four ends we could do. I keep thinking, quote, it's not Christmas without insert food. So there's a notice we could do. Why would it be so normal that Karen might think it's not Christmas without insert food? What do you think, Julie?
Oh, because you've probably practiced having Christmas with that food forever. But also, I guess I'm curious, why do you have to have Christmas this year without that food? If you are eating when you're hungry and stopping it enough, can you have Christmas with all the foods that you love and none of the ones you don't? I would ask that, Karen. Karen, if you wanted to come up and work on this with us, raise your hand and we will bring you up. We would love that.
We would love for folks to raise their hand.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So I think a way that we could maybe normalize that, as you said, was it's so normal to think of the holiday with that food. And let's go ahead and bring Karen up and talk through it.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, here I am. I'm like, I don't know what I look like right now, but
you're wearing hats. Mine has a bell on it. So all good.
Well, as soon as Julie said that, I was like, well, damn, that's a good point. Why can't I have all the stuff I want in moderation and in control, you know, not out of control?
Or like not overeating them, but eating them.
Yeah, enjoying a portion that is satisfying and in the good, better, best part, best for me.
Well, you tell us, Karen, why is your brain telling you that you can't?
Well, this goes back to another question you asked me a while ago. Why is more better?
Yes, it does. Nice. So are you still thinking about that? Why is more better here?
You know, I have it figured out for Thanksgiving. I'm making desserts. I purposely looked for things that the leftovers can be frozen.
Okay, clever.
So that, and I've already set my protocol that when everybody leaves, I pull out the saran wrap the stuff up, goes in the freezer before I can grab acid.
That's super clever.
Yeah.
So that it's the like baking Christmas cookies where I'm with my family and I'm used to, you know, testing.
Yeah, this is so good though, Karen, because like I think you probably know we've known each other around No BS for a while. My family's really into baking too. And so like I will get out a knife and cut like every cookie into fours and make everybody test it. And that way we're all only just having like a little tiny wedge of any one cookie, you know? So it's like I'm not the only tester anymore. We're all testing. And we all don't need full cookies to test, right? Like you can test with like your one wedge.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, you know, like maybe amputate a gingerbread man or something like that because.
Yes.
And the other thing is what I make are homemade caramels.
Oh, yum.
Yes, they're very, very easy. You do them in the microwave. It's really fast, but I have a habit of like wrapping five, eating one.
Okay. So you know, you have this memory of this habit where you've practiced wrapping five and eating one.
Yep. And I guess, again, I need a protocol of saying it's fine to taste one, but the next one's not going to taste any different.
Well, so I think that's such a great question to ask yourself, like, if I taste one, what would tasting two do different for me than one would? And is the answer anything? Like, how many do you want to eat the day you're making them?
It's just, that's the interesting. It's usually the day I'm making them, I want them. And after that, it's like, I'm sick of making caramels. I don't want them anymore.
That resonates for me for sure.
What, you do that too, Lizzie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
and that's the same thing, even like with the cookie dough.
Karen, I think you and I cook cookies the same way. It's like a lot of dough and some cookies.
Yeah, it's like, or you get the frosting on your hands and it's like, well, you know, you don't wipe it off. That's a waste.
I have literally done that. Like I've had cookie dough on my fingers and been like half, like not more than halfway to my mouth and been like, oh, wait. And I go to the sink and wash off my hands. It's like, it's an ingrained habit and it's something you can change.
I think I will take my own towel to cookie baking to wipe my hands on.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, before you make a protocol though, do you want to ask yourself, like, if that's the day you like your caramels and then you truly don't want to eat them any other day, why don't you start by asking yourself, how many do I want to actually eat today?
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple of things that I make that it is only at the holidays. And they're things that I love so much. Like even now, just thinking of some of the things, my mouth is watering.
Yeah.
And they're things that in previous years, I tell myself, you know, you're just going to have some and then go into that frenzy of mindless eating. And I don't want to do that this year. I have thought about things like making sure when I put stuff in my cold garage, put it on the other side where I'd have to open the garage door and actually go around the car to get it.
That's clever. What do you want to do this year different though? So you're looking at the past and you know your habits, right? Just like Lizzie said, like habits you've practiced over the years. But what do you want to consciously decide for yourself this year? Like, how do you want to show up for you intentionally?
I would like come New Year's to reflect on everything and say, dang, I handle that like a boss who loves herself.
Wow. That's a like place to start. Right? Before you start protocoling and making it about food, it's like, what's it take to stand on New Year's and be the boss who loves herself and like looks back and is like, so what?
Yeah, because New Year's Day will be my 1 year anniversary of being in no BS.
Wow.
So this is my first no BS holiday. And I think even as I'm mentally kind of getting alarmed at some stuff, if I reflect and settle down a little bit, I'm not going into it with the same attitude as previous years. It's just that great fear of the default habits and actions coming back.
Yeah. And Karen, you gave me such a great idea when you said like how you want to feel on New Year's Day. Number one, I really want to acknowledge that fear of default habits coming up. Let's just call them out. They're there. They will come up. Let's expect it. It's okay. And also, it was so beautiful how you said, here's how I want to feel on New Year's Day. Because like Stephen Covey tells us in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, like start with the end in mind. You already identified your outcome. On New Year's Day, I want to feel like a badass who showed up for herself like a boss.
Uh-huh.
Take that outcome and use that as a lens to look through as a filter through like, okay, when I'm making my protocol for cookie baking, I want to show up on New Year's Day feeling like a boss who took care of herself. What does that look like in terms of baking cookies? Maybe that looks like 3 spoonfuls of dough instead of 5 or whatever it is. And, you know, 1 cookie taste, or, you know, you get to decide what that looks like. But I just, again, it's for everybody listening. What a beautiful gift to give yourself to start with. How do I want to feel on January 1st? And then everything that comes between now and then, you can plan your protocol through that lens.
Yeah.
I like that actually gives me a lot of comfort, because the last thing I want is to start off the New Year's feeling like I have to undo damage.
Yeah.
I want you to remember, right? Like all this incredible work you've done all year, like there, you have been building trust with yourself. So when that cookie dough or the caramels, that little bit of frenzy starts to happen that you were kind of describing a little bit earlier, that like frantic, you can kind of like stop yourself and offer self-soothing, right? Like, I would love to hear you create a couple of sentences you want to remind yourself, like, I'm safe. I know how to do this now. I can trust myself. I trust my body. Mm-hmm. I trust that I can eat the caramels that I planned and be satisfied, right? Like reminding yourself in the moment while you're at the dishes, you know, in the restroom, like in your reflection in the mirror at the sink, like making eye contact with yourself, like, I really do got this now. Like, I'm in a different place than the habit girl of the past.
Yeah. And I just thought too, because one of the things I started doing that, and mostly just it amuses me and it's a good reminder, is I bought tattoo markers and I write on messages on my thigh, because the only time I really see them is when I go to the bathroom. So as silly as it sounds, I think when I go for cookie baking day, I'm going to put my message on my leg. So every time I go to the bathroom, I get the reminder of, who do you want to be? What do you want to do? How do you want to show up for yourself? It might just say, you've got this, bitch. I don't know.
I love that. But I mean, obviously, like, you guys know I have Can I Just tattooed on my thumb. So I see it all day, every day of my life. And it has been a catalyst for not just eating, but for a million things in my life. Like, can I just go for it unabashedly, as you know? And like, mm-hmm. The idea of having a reminder somewhere that's for you 100%. It's like you and you in that moment when you see it. I love that for you, Karen. I could see you really using that.
I think, you know, I've used it here and there, and I just realized that I could put a lot of reminders. I got 2 thighs. I got plenty of room, so I could put stuff there. And because, you know, post-it notes only work if you take them with you.
Yeah. True. Well, yeah. Karen, what you're making me think of too is that when we were at camp last weekend, somebody mentioned she uses a dry erase marker on her mirror to put a message on her mirror. And I was thinking, for cookie baking, I don't know about you, but my microwave is right above my stove. And so like I could dry erase onto my microwave, you know, watch out for the VOPs or whatever it is I want to do. You show up like a boss.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to somebody else's house, so I don't know how she'd feel. But
it'd be fine.
That would be funny. Just be like, excuse me, writing on your microwave. Yeah. But
the idea of it though, right? Like it's really the idea of it. So every time you're in the bathroom or if you have long sleeve shirt, like something right here where it's somewhere where you can see yourself. I love the idea of you using your January 1st intention to set up success through your holiday events, whatever you're doing, from cookie baking to Thanksgiving Day to whatever other holiday events you're at.
I like that because, you know, the other thing I keep thinking, well, get some gum and chew that. And it's like, I don't want to have to avoid the foods.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to be able to be around them and them not have the power over me. I don't want to do something to distract from the taste, you know, to sabotage myself that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to go around chewing a big old mouth of gum going, well, can't eat a cookie because I got gum in my mouth.
And Karen, I just want to point out kind of the mindset shift you've taken over the last 5-10 minutes as you wrote in the chat, I noticed the thought, it's not Christmas without fill in the blank food, which I'm guessing here, but sounds a little bit deprivation thinking, restrictive thinking. And we've shifted this completely to a place of empowerment of like, I want to show up like a boss and I don't want these foods to have power over me. Wow.
Yeah. And I want to enjoy them and I can.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I want to be the boss in the room.
Amazing. Wow.
So good. Well,
okay. I already feel more powerful. Thank you.
Great. You better find us on January 1st because we want to get the full report of badass Karen.
I will be all over the place on my 1-year anniversary of joining because, I was just going to stay for a month.
We're glad to have you.
I am glad to have all of you in my life. Yes. It's made such a difference. And going into this, knowing that I could be comfortable in all the situations is so much better than the old diet mentality of you can have, 2 ounces of turkey. And I always hated that every year at Weight Watchers when you got your little plate and you could decide how much sweet potatoes you could have. And you couldn't have this. So, and the fake, the substitutes. I don't want that stuff. I want the real stuff, but at an off.
Yep. Yep. And I want to echo what Sue wrote in the chat. Karen, thank goodness you didn't just stay for 1 month. You make all of us better. So thank you for being here.
I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. My part of my New Year's review is just going to be looking at what a year it's been.
Amazing. Oh, so good. We can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much. And now I feel a little safer making the goodies.
Right on. All right. Keep us posted in Facebook.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
All right, Julie, we've got the next part of our workbook is defining the holidays. And we have a couple of people who've raised their hands. I really want to go next. What do you think?
Well, why don't we have Sue and Lori. Why don't we bring one of them up and work through their holiday challenge?
Amazing. Sue, we're calling you up. If you could accept joining as a panelist.
And while Sue's coming up, defining the holidays, it's like, what holidays are you going to celebrate? What do they mean to you? And make sure you're really honest with yourself, because so many of us talk about like the entire month of December and really we get to gather with people like 3 or 4 days kind of thing. So as Sue's unmuting and turning on her camera, remember, you get to define your own holiday season and start by sharing with yourself the meaning of it. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue. You are currently muted, so I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Unmute. How did I do?
Amazing. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Okay. I have to say, Coach Julie, when you offered me the visual of the Wizard of Oz, that has been so powerful in changing my course here. I even got a little cute little necklace instead of pearls. I have my Wizard of Oz. Oh, let's think about this. Okay.
So glad that resonates for you. Tell us about your holiday.
So what my question is here, instead of me doing a protocol, imagery is so powerful for me. And I was wondering if, because I was trying to think forward, well, what's it going to look like with the family around and everything? And again, this is kind of like my planning. I'm kind of drawing a blank. So I said here, can you help me create a visual or imagery, scenery, thoughts that I could go with, you know, that I can expand on, that my can make my holiday work for me in the program? This is so powerful. My brain is just very vivid.
Lizzie, Coach Lizzie, you love a good analogy. I'm sure you got something that came to mind.
I do love analogies and I love imagery as well. Sometimes I send my private clients some visuals that I make. And so Sue, I would love for you to tell me a little bit about what do you want your holiday to look like? And then maybe we could bring in an analogy or an image to match.
Well, it's my husband and I here, and our two sons and our two grandsons and possibly a couple of girlfriends might be here. So in the past, I was filled with anxiety. I was filled with, so much going on, overwhelmed. What I want is the opposite of that. What I want is it to be pleasant. I want to have the feeling of almost like when I was a kid and I was going to have the dinner, you know? I mean, you're just filled with anticipation and filled with fun. And I love being the one that preparing the meal and everything, but I want to bring that joy back. And that, you know, oh my gosh, it's so stressful. There's so much to do, you know, and the whole time I'm eating, you know, I don't want to be eating. I want to be able to say, you know what? Hey, this is good, but I think, you know, maybe a scoop of this would be fine, or, you know, a slice of that. And I mean, I want to eat a healthy portion size Thanksgiving meal with everyone.
Okay. That was so helpful. Thank you. So what I hear you saying is that what you don't want is anxiety and overwhelm. And what you do want is to feel like a kid anticipating the meal and feel that sense of joy. Am I hearing that right?
Yes. The joy sharing with the family, the laughter, the fun, what the holidays are supposed to be, and not bringing in any of the stress to it.
Great. So I heard something amazing this past week on a podcast, and it said, the opposite of anxiety is not calm, it's creativity. And so what I would encourage you mentioned like imagery. What if you could think of hosting the meal as an act of creation, as a blank canvas, as this is my opportunity to get creative. And, you know, what if I'm like making art with food, and how fascinating and how fun that I get to share this with my loved ones and see what they think. And, you know, what if you switch it from anxiousness and overwhelm to creativity and opportunity? What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I guess that's what I was kind of asking to, do you have any visuals that you kind of think of, you know, that I might viral.
Interesting.
You know?
So when you think of how you felt as a kid and that feeling of joy, this is just me. Like, what came to mind was that movie, A Christmas Story, and the you know, Ralphie just being so excited for Christmas. But that's me. Like, everyone has different visuals. And so for you, when you think of that anticipation and that feeling of joy and creativity, what comes to mind? Like, when you think about that, anything come to mind?
I guess what my first thought was kind of heading for the table with that feeling of almost Christmas morning, you know, the anticipation of sitting at that table with everybody, okay. You know, because you know it's going to be good. I mean, Mom's cooking was absolutely amazing, and Thanksgiving just was always such a delight. I guess I have missed over the years the feeling of the delight that I had when I was a kid, because I was the stressed out worker, you know, and I wanted to be able to prepare and enjoy the creations of it, Matt, but I want to enjoy me at the table.
Yeah.
So this is a huge.
Thank you for explaining that. So let's think about the think, feel, do cycle.
Okay.
It sounds like, and I'm going to kind of guess a little bit here, but it sounds like in the last couple of years, your thoughts have been something around, you know, everything needs to get done. I've got so much to do, et cetera. And that leads to the feeling of anxiety and overwhelm. And then the do line is like, you show up at the table and perhaps you don't enjoy it. So if we want to create a feeling of delight, anticipation,
yes,
let's work backwards. So think, feel, do. We're in the middle line, that feel. I want to feel anticipation. I want to feel delighted when almost like the Thanksgiving table is almost like opening presents on Christmas morning. I want to feel like that. Let's work backwards. What could be a thought, or even it doesn't have to be exactly, like we could work our way there. What could be a thought that leads to that feeling of anticipation, like that opening presents on Christmas morning?
I would say sitting down at the table with all the food and everyone sitting around the table, socializing and being the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Okay. And so if we were to crystallize that into a thought, could that be something, you know, instead of like, oh my goodness, there's so much to get done, it could be, it's going to be so great to have everyone sitting at the table enjoying a meal together. How does that shift feel?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's funny. I was looking at it the wrong way, in the wrong direction.
I mean, it's not necessarily wrong. It's completely understandable.
Right. How simple sometimes this talking this stuff out is.
Yeah.
How it just changes the course.
So someone in the chat is asking us to give examples of this. And with Sue, this is so great because Sue, you're asking for it too. So for me, it might be like closing my eyes and thinking about like the anticipation, but what's the thing that really I truly anticipate? And when I close my eyes, I can hear my dad's like cackling laughter. I can see the twinkle in his eye. I can hear all the hustle and bustle and all the clinking of the dishes and that like wave of those sounds going towards the dining room table. And I can smell the smells in my Grammy's kitchen, even though I haven't been in there for such a long time. Right. It's like allowing your brain to be creative and like connect to the things that you truly do love. It's not just the food. I love the food at our table, but I love the laughter more. I love that when you say pass a roll, someone hucks it at you. So you better be looking at whoever next to the rolls, because otherwise you're going to get a roll in the face. Like, it's that camaraderie. It's that experience that I'm really wanting. Like, I do love the food and there's great food memories and I eat plenty of food on a holiday, but that's not really it. It's like watching my grandma cut the watermelon that she went and found that was like a guarantee it would be sweet, even though it was Thanksgiving. It was those moments. It's like creatively experiencing those memories and anticipating that part of it. What do you think, Sue? Can you creatively visualize how you want to anticipate the holiday?
I just had, I'm such a crier, but I just had this wonderful vision of me as the lady of the house, of me as the matriarch of the family, as me, you know? Ooh. Having this, you know, taking the role that my mother is. And yeah, making it beautiful for others, but also for myself, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow. Thank you.
But this is my time. This is my time.
Wow. There's a thought to put in your think, feel, do. This is my time. This is my time.
Thank you so much. So totally changed it for me.
Wow. So really you're anticipating you stepping into this incredible new role.
I think this is part of me growing up, you know. I mean, I'm certainly a grown up on the outside, but I'm learning how to be a grown up on the inside. Right.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Maybe one of these calls I'll make it through without crying. Thank you. I know so much.
Thank you
so much. Do you put me down then?
Sure. Thank you so much for also like giving us a visual for how we can step into the matriarch of our own family. So thank you, Sue.
Happy holidays, everyone.
You well. Too. Oh, and Sue just says you're leaving, just so you know, you won't be able to see the chat in the same way, but you have other people here that are inspired to share their journey stepping into the matriarch role in their families. So you are not alone, and your coaching inspired others to share they're going through that same journey. So congratulations to all of you.
Yeah. And Sue's conversation kind of steered us into the part of the workbook that says what I want for the holidays worksheet, how I want the holidays to go. So thank you for that, Sue. We've also got Lori has raised her hand. So we're going to go ahead and have Lori come up and chat with us. And anybody else, if you want to chat with me and Julie, please raise your hand as we walk through the workbook. I'm so excited to see Lori. Got to see her at camp this year.
If you have a question, if you want to get coached, if you want to work on something in the workbook with us, hi, Lori.
Hey, ladies.
Hey there.
So a little different twist. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I hate the holidays. When I was little, I have a picture of me absolutely adoring Santa Claus. Like, probably higher than God. I was like, oh, this is such joy. And I feel like it has just been drained out of me. I thought we were special because we got to go get the gifts, and I didn't realize it was due to our poverty that we got the gifts. I had a brother who was in and out of jail over the holidays, and I had to go pick him up from his different stays or treatment places. My dad passed in December. His cancer came back twice at Thanksgiving. My new family is, my stepson has been so mean over the 17 years with gratefulness that I'm like, oh my God, like the food is not the issue. You know, I'm in control of that. I cook it. I decide, you know, I'm not, I have to have anything person, but I'm actually alone this Thanksgiving, and it's like the biggest sigh of relief. But then I feel really guilty because there's this expectation I feel. It's my thoughts about it that my family, they all enjoy it. I would love to just bow out of it all, but I know I would let like my immediate family here, my mom, my nieces and nephew would be like, Aunt Lori's not here. What we, this isn't right. So I just get in my loop and I can feel it growing through the holidays of like, I fucking hate this. So a little different, but you both got a little taste of my story this last week. So
yeah.
What do you want for your holiday season? Like, if that were okay, that you, like, everything you just said is as valid as anybody else. So how would you want your holiday to be this year?
Alone.
Okay.
Which is funny because when I lived alone and stuff, I'm like, oh, I want all this big, happy, you know, celebration and all that. And now I'm like, it's so... nobody's really happy at the holidays. It's like this facade of people getting together and, you know, don't tell Graham that this is going on, or do you know your brother's doing this? And I'm like, why are we all together? This is ridiculous. And I'm probably the one of all of us that has no problem speaking her mind. And I don't know, kind of spinning with that, but it's like, there's no purpose to it. I feel it's so commercialized and so dark now that I'm like, I don't know why.
So Lori, you said what you want for the holidays, you know, in defining what you want for the holidays is to be alone. Do you feel free to be able to choose that for yourself, or is there some obligation there?
No.
Tell me.
No. One, I wouldn't do that to my mom. That means everything to her when we're all together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like the 50 Shade of Grey kid between a black and a white brother and sister, where they are so rigid and so mean. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? We could do that. Sure, let's try this. You know, that my mom is like, you're my sanity. You're my, you know, I have to be there for her.
I'd like to really pause you right there and just mm-hmm. reflect back to you what you said. I have to be there for her. And I totally acknowledge that feels true. But how would it feel if you say, I get to choose a holiday on my own terms? I could choose to be alone and disappoint my mom. But instead, I choose to show up for my mom. That's my choice. What feels different about that, if anything?
Well, I know it is, but what I have a feeling the whole time. And I'm really good at faking it and putting it on like during the day, like, hey, you know, I have to do that in a very stressful job. But then I'm like, feel fake and like.
So what extra. You're doing is you're showing up, you're acting in a certain way, but in your mind, you're still saying it shouldn't have to be this way. There's a lot of shoulds in your mind. When you are creating that story for yourself, what you can, and I don't want to negate the story, like it's no. real. At the same time, you can tell a different story and say, I'm choosing to show up for mom. And yeah, it sucks. And yeah, you know, brother or cousin or whatever is being annoying. But I'm here because I'm showing up in the way I want to show up for mom. And that's tapping into my values. And that's why I'm here. And
so kind of like letting all the rest of the expectation go besides that. That's more powerful.
Yeah. And I mean, what are those expectations that other people will act differently?
Hoping they will. I don't think they will, but I always hold out hope.
Fair.
that there will be, you know, that I won't be called a bitch because I said, let's wait an extra half an hour to open presents because I'm in the middle of cooking. You know, I hope that we'll make it through a year where something like that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I don't have to lose me, I guess, through their reactions. I let it, and I hold on to stuff. I know that. And it's like part of my shield. It's my brick wall I'm behind. It's like, you did that, putting that on the wall. What's next? Yep, that's still there. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to do that. And I'm trying to learn how to be like, well, they're an asshole, but I'm still just going to do this.
One thing that's been powerful in my own family is to expect the family assholes to show up as assholes and not expect them to be any different than who they have shown themselves to be.
Yeah.
And that changes how I show up, because then I say it's on me to choose to show up knowing they're going to be the asshole. And then I get to choose my response and choose to be who I want to be, knowing exactly that I'm expecting the asshole.
Right.
Versus being like, oh, damn it, he's going to do it again. And the drama in my mind, if you can just say, asshole is going to be asshole, I'm choosing why I want to show up here. And it's my choice.
That would be different. I mean, I'm like the peacemaker and not inserting to keep peace. If my brother makes my sister cry, not trying to calm things down, of just being.
Yeah.
Ouch. Sorry. I have a cat.
That's fantastic.
Who decided to like love my arm for a second here. I've been at work all day and he's like, you're mine. Sorry. Yeah.
So I guess, again, there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be alone for the holiday. But it takes you from a place of victimhood to a place of empowerment when you say, instead of I have to go and support my mom and be there for her and deal with the assholes,
yeah,
you can say, I want to be alone, but I'm choosing to go and be with mom because I want to show up for mom. And that's who I want to be. And the assholes are going to be there. And I'm going to choose to expect that. And I'm going to choose to be there for mom versus being the victim of like, I have to. How does that feel?
As you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, I think doing all of that would be easy if I come up with like a, when I return home plan, here's how I'm just going to take care of myself after this like really intense time.
Amazing.
And plan like, you know, just a me thing.
Do you want to walk through that just a little bit?
Well, I was thinking like just being able to, you know, and I know like my wife would understand. I'm like, this is my time. We claim that and we're both good with that. And just, you know, there's some old movies I like to watch, just me, you know, or go out in the hot tub and just like, whew, let it all wash away. I'm a water person. So how can I just like rinse off the family, you know, yeah. Kind of like literally like, oh, just leave it.
That's, I so appreciate that you brought that up, that yeah, sometimes we need to plan in the like decompress, the detox post family. And Julie, it's so interesting that Lori is bringing this up because it's kind of tapping on that encyclopedia of shoulds. Anything you want to add to this, Julie?
Yeah, I think the idea of like owning a choice and maybe even doing the exercise of like, when you're choosing something, what it's doing for your mom when you choose to go and support her, but what's it doing for you, right? I know for us, before my husband lost both his parents, like when we chose to show up, it was very important to him to like show up as the son he wanted to be. And he really wanted to look back and be proud of that. And so he got to give himself that. And sometimes it was really hard, but whenever he chose to support one of them, he was doing something for himself. Like, he was really proud of how he showed up in that relationship. So when your brain is like, I should do this, or I've got to do this, like really connecting to the choice you're making and why for the other person, but why for you? Like, yeah. What does it do for you?
I hear that. I kind of forgot about that. When my dad was passing, I took the month of December and I was his hospice nurse. You know, so I showed up for him, but it was so much for me. And I didn't realize it till after, like, the impact. And I did care for him till his literal last breath. But it's like, okay, I might not know the direct impact of this now, but I can let it be for the moment. It means enough to her, and that means something to me. Because I know if she wasn't there, I would be like, oh, you know, the rest of them, I don't care as much. But mom's a little different.
You know, it's interesting, Lori, I was talking with a client today about Thanksgiving and family drama and so forth, but she wants to go because her grandma has a diagnosis that might make this the last Thanksgiving. And so she said, you know, all the things that she was dreading about interacting with the other family members. And she acknowledged, she's like, I know that whatever I look for, I'll find it. And it's so easy for me to look for my old painful story. And so, Lizzie, I want you to help me look for what's good. Look for what I want to find. And so, Lori, a question you could ask yourself as you approach Thanksgiving, when you're choosing to show up for your mom, a question could be, what do I want to look for? I want to look for how mom and I are having moments. They don't have to be like, you know, Hallmark moments, but they're tangible moments. That's what I want to focus on and pay attention to. Not the asshole comment from the brother, not my sister. Yeah. Crying. I want to focus on me and my mom. Whatever you look for, you'll find it. So if you can be really proactive ahead of time and intentional about, here's what I want to find and look for, that can, again, define a holiday on your own terms.
Both of you, thank you. Those are really good reframing. I know I spin, so being able to trust and put that out there, I appreciate you both for that. So thank you.
Thank you too, Lori. And I know that you having the courage to come up and say, I hate the holidays, like, has really helped so many people who are listening. So thank you so much for that too.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks.
Thanks, Lori.
Oh, Julie, we are almost at the hour. What else would you like to talk about in relation to the workbook before we wrap up?
Well, I think, you know, if maybe each of us giving an example of something we're working on this season for the holidays, like, what is it from the Handling the Holidays workbook here? What are you taking into your holidays?
What am I taking into my holidays? You know, I really appreciated what Lori said about taking time for herself. That resonates with me. It's been a pretty busy couple of months, and I have heard the words come out of my mouth in the last week or so, I can just get to after Thanksgiving and then I can rest.
Okay.
Maybe I should plan in some rest. And, I think that I have allowed myself to focus, again, whatever you focus on expands, you know, I've allowed myself to focus on the busy. And it's a great reminder to remember, this is a special time. You know, both my parents and my husband's parents are still with us. That is such a glorious blessing. And frankly, that's limited. And so I want to be present for that. And so that's what I want to take away, is be present with the family members that are here, and also be present with myself and allow myself to rest and do nothing and watch football and have that be okay.
I love that.
How about for you, Julie?
For us, it's really like, we're, you know, obviously I am married, but we're going to be alone. We're not doing big events. And that is perfect for my spouse. You know, they love that. And so for me, it's finding that joy in everyday moments. I think that I have in the past had lots of stories about what holidays mean. And the truth is, when I look for meaning and purpose in every day, it just really connects me to my own, like, all the special things in the world that I miss when I'm not focusing on each day and only thinking it's coming on like one specific day of the year. And so for me, that's really what I'm going to do, is like every day wake up in intentional gratitude, find the things that I connect with that are special, and that can be about the holiday, but it can be just about any random Thursday too. So for any of you who are talking about being alone or by choice or not, there's ways to make each day of your life very special. And I myself alone this holiday am going to find and seek those out in my brain.
Yeah. And just to, you know, dovetail onto what you said, like finding joy in every day, I think that we are all so fortunate. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, I feel so fortunate to be part of this No BS community, because there is so much purpose in helping just one other person, one other No BS woman, feel comfortable in her own skin, to love herself just 1% more. And, you know, Julie, you and I get to do that every day, which is amazing. And also, those of you who are out there, you can do that in the Facebook group. There's always opportunities to lift somebody else up, to be a friend, to be a sister in our No BS community. So there's purpose in our community, and I'm so grateful for that.
So well said. Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. Please check out the Handling the Holidays workbook. Of course, the links are going to be in the replay. And do yourselves a favor, take care of yourselves for the holidays, plan time for rest, plan your reentry plan. And if you have any questions, send us in to Ask Coaches and we'll help you out. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.